This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, we're exploring Encounter in the Desert with Kevin Randall. He's taking a look at the case, a new look. And the thing that got him going here is he wanted to see in his investigation, after talking to these two people who were giving the case a new look, whether or not there were other witnesses, which makes the case far more compelling. And then later on, we can talk about the possible hoax theories that were bandied about from as far back as Philip Klass and more recently some other people. So let's get back to that.
Quick comment. How about Opal Grinder and the story of the carload of folks that evidently were coming down the other way, down the highway from Zamora, and they saw the thing leave and mentioned it. I think, was it Opal Grinder? Was he the gas station owner? It's been so long.
He was. I think he was the manager. I don't think he was the owner. But his story isn't quite as important, and here's why. So we're talking about three witnesses who allegedly called the police station, and I wanted to find out who these witnesses were. Did somebody call the police station? So I've now brought the people into the case. We got Richard Holder there, Captain Holder. We've got the FBI agent Burns there. They're talking to Zamora. Holder writes a report that very night, within hours of the sighting. He may have written it at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think he may have transmitted it to the Pentagon at 2 o'clock in the morning. In this report, he says there were three people who called the police station prior to Zamora calling in with a traffic accident, what he thought was a traffic accident. They called into the police station prior to that. Holder mentions that in his report and that they'd seen a flame in the sky or an object in the sky. Now we got three additional witnesses, and we've got it corroborated that very night. I am absolutely stunned that nobody, Holder, Burns, the Lorenzens, Hynek, Moody, Ray Stanford, nobody tried to find those people. And it wouldn't have been hard to find them because obviously they lived in Socorro. Obviously they knew the path the object had taken getting to that point, the arroyo where it landed and take off. You could have found those people if you had to knock on doors. There couldn't have been that many doors to knock on. And that would have been a stunning bit of corroborative evidence. The only thing we have now is Holder's report saying, yes, people called in. Nobody bothered to get the names. Nobody bothered to get any information. Nobody bothered trying to find them. But it's an interesting bit of corroboration. You get to Opal Grinder, he's merely talking about some people possibly from Colorado, and I say possibly from Colorado because they seem to think they were tourists heading home to Colorado at the time, who stopped by his gas station and talked about it. There's another story of people at a separate gas station may have seen the same thing. I was never able to get it clear whether somebody had misinterpreted the Opal Grinder story and put it in a different gas station because the owner of the other gas station happened to still be alive, but we were able to get that connection made, which would have been a wonderful bit of corroboration. But it all was sparked by Ben Moss and Tony Angiola telling me about these three witnesses who had seen the object in the sky. I was able to verify there were three witnesses. The documentation is there to support that. What nobody bothered to do was get their names and addresses, which would have been great in 1964. So the case moves a little bit better. You can, if you want to raise the bar on evidence and say, yeah, well, you don't know who they are, you don't know exactly what they said, but I can document that they did call the police station because in the report Holder made within hours of Zamora returning to the police station, he puts it in a report that went to the Pentagon and eventually to Project Blue Book. And the report is about a half a page, single-spaced, and it's in the Project Blue Book files.
Did you ever ask Ray Stanford why he didn't follow up this extra witness stuff more carefully?
Well, if you read his book, and I know you have.
Many years ago.
He was with Woody Stroud. The guy was a reporter for the radio station in Socorro, I believe, and he'd interviewed Hynek and a number of people. And Ray met him at a restaurant for dinner one night within days of this happening. While he was in the restaurant, the reporter introduced him to two women who'd seen the thing. And I asked Ray about that, and he said, I don't know who they were. I don't remember who they were. And I wondered if they were in his notes, and he said he didn't know for sure, and he couldn't look at it. I said, well, it would be interesting to see if we could find them. And he said, well, they were middle-aged at the time, so they're probably long gone. And I figured that as well. But I'm thinking if we could have gotten the names, we might have found out where they lived, and we might have been able to track down some other people from that neighborhood who were alive at the time, teenagers, people in their 20s. We might have been able to find some witnesses, even though we're now over 50 years ago. We might have been able to find some additional witnesses, but Ray was unable to help me on that. I don't know why nobody followed up on those three people who'd called the police station. I'm just absolutely flabbergasted at that. Looking at the Air Force file on this, it seemed that they were attempting to do a legitimate investigation. They were trying to get to the bottom of this, and you've got an FBI guy who's trained in investigation. You've got an Army officer whose duties clearly aren't in that arena, but he's doing the investigation and sending reports to the Pentagon. You've got the official Air Force investigator on there, Sergeant Moody. He's in the area, and you've got Jalen Hynek. They know that these people are out there, and none of them bothered trying to find them. And I'm just absolutely flabbergasted that nobody, even the Lorenzans, who were very good at that sort of thing, didn't try to find these three people. And the Lorenzans had talked to Holder. You've got statements by Holder and Burns in the APRO Bulletin for May of 1964. I mean, this is within weeks of the landing that they published this information. So they clearly talked to Holder. They clearly talked to Burns. They clearly talked to Zamora. But nobody tried to find these people. The Colorado tourists, there was almost no chance of finding them because you really don't know if they were really from Colorado. They may have been. I think they said the license plate may have been from Colorado. They weren't sure where they were from. So, I mean, that would be very difficult to find. I lived in Colorado in 1964. I was growing up in Colorado in 1964, and it wasn't me or my family, I can tell you that. But the other witnesses, the ones that called the police station, they should have been easily found. I can't see it taking more than an afternoon to find those people, and nobody bothered to try to do that.
Well, let's get past that, because obviously we can't do anything about it now. We have to live with what we can find. Going through the case, and obviously we have that those symbols, or whatever they are, that we're looking at, and there's been discussion about that. Did you find anything in terms of basic details of the sighting that turned out not to be correct or needed to be changed?
Little things that could easily get lost in the translation of the events. If you go back to the Air Force file, and you mentioned the symbols, the Air Force file is filled with the symbols, two of them signed by Lonnie Zamora, of what he saw. Being somewhat different than the inverted V with the three lines through it. They're actually in the official file. There's no real witness, no documentation for the inverted V with the three lines through it. The best we come up with in September of 1964, Hynek had sent a letter. And I forget who he addressed it to. It's in the Blue Book file, so it might have been to somebody there. But he drew the inverted V, and he drew two lines between the legs and one line over the top, which is not quite the same thing. And that's the closest we've come. Every time you find the symbol represented in the file, it's represented with the arc and the arrowhead type thing and the line underneath. There's that sort of thing. I think
before we go too much further, let's explain to listeners that may not be as up to speed on the case as some of our longtime listeners and describe the scenario, why we even have two different versions of the symbol. Why don't you go in and give your particular explanation for that, and then maybe Jane and I will have a comment.
Well, before we do that, we're going to have to split for a couple of pieces of business. But if you want to avoid the pieces of business, by the way, you can subscribe to the PowerCast Plus and get the version free of network ads. Go to plus.thepowercast.com. That's plus.thepowercast.com. We've got Kevin Randall, author of Encounter in the Desert. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Okay, I'll admit it. I'm not a cook. Not even close. But after a close encounter with HelloFresh, I might just be ready to change my tune. You see, HelloFresh is a meal delivery service that makes cooking more fun and a whole lot easier. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions. These recipes are designed so you can cook a nutritious meal in just 30 minutes flat. HelloFresh gives you fresh ingredients precisely measured to the exact quantities you need. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? Well, I did, and Barbara was really impressed. Really? HelloFresh delivers everything right to your front door for less than $10 per meal. And as a Paracast listener, you can get $30 off your first week of deliveries. Just go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code Paracast30.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that will be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNWellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNWellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNWellness.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Chris raised a point for Kevin Randall to follow up on as we continue with the new investigations into Sicaro, New Mexico. Kevin?
If you go to the Afro Bulletin from May 1964 and you read what Holder had to say and what Burns had to say, Holder suggested to Zamora and others that they not release what the exact symbol was, because that way, if there were copycats or people coming forward and said, yes, I saw the object, and they could ask them what the symbol looked like, they wouldn't know, because that information had been withheld. The Lorenzen thought that was a good idea, and I point that out because I think one of the things, well, I'm not going to say that. I'm not sure about that. There was this story that the Air Force had suppressed what the symbol looked like. Hynek denied that, and the truth of the matter is the Air Force wasn't the entity that said that. It was Holder, who was Army, suggested it, and he suggested it for what I think is very good reasons, and the Lorenzens agreed. The other thing is Burns suggested that Zamora not mention the figures that he had seen, because that would open him up to ridicule by other people who would think he was crazy and drunk at the time when he made the observation. So the story came out that there wasn't any alien seen there, or there were just some white coveralls in the distance, and he couldn't see any sort of features at all. He just sort of saw these white coveralls in the distance. And this was all designed, I think, not to suppress the information, but really looking to save Lonnie Zamora some aggravation from people who wouldn't believe that he'd saw alien creatures, and to kind of provide a way of people, or for them to determine whether or not people had seen the same thing that Lonnie had seen with the same symbol on it. So the suppression of the information, and there has been some discussion in various places about it being a conspiracy by the government to hide the information. I think it was more of really them at these two entities who are government representatives, an FBI agent and an Army officer, to help out in the investigation rather than suppress information. The other thing is, within a couple of weeks, a few days of this, Lonnie Zamora had gone to the city attorney to talk about the sighting, because he wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to get into trouble for any of this, and he described what he had seen. And in the room was a paralegal named Baca. And his son was something of an artist, 14-year-old Ricky Baca. And so they described exactly what Zamora seen. Baca drew the object, and Baca's father took it back to the city attorney or to Zamora. And Zamora looked at it and said, that's basically what I saw. And then he directed Baca's father to draw what the symbol looked like on it. When you see that picture from the Socorro newspaper, the symbol's not on it. But if you go back to the May 1964 April Bulletin, that picture is actually printed in the April Bulletin, so you can see the symbol on it is well there. So you've got a drawing of exactly what Zamora saw based on Zamora's descriptions of what he had seen with the symbol on it. And it gives you kind of an idea of what's going on. Ray Stanford actually sent a letter to Dick Hall with that same symbol on it, saying, "This, if you see the symbol, the arc over the arrowhead symbol, that's the real one. And if you see something else, that's a hoax." He reversed himself when he wrote his book.
Interesting. Well, Hynek also, I think, is in an interview on the Donahue show. He mentioned that the symbol was the inverted triangle with the three lines. I'm not. It's a video interview somewhere. I'm not sure if it was the Donahue show one, but I think so.
At some point, Hynek came around to it, that the inverted V with the three lines was printed in newspapers, and I found newspapers from around the country that had that in it. But it seems that all the participants in the investigation, whether it is Holder or Burns or Zamora himself, go with this other symbol. Hynek, for some reason, came up with this other thing, and Ray Stanford. I mean, there's a letter that he wrote in May of 1964 to Dick Hall explaining the two different symbols, and the symbol with the arc over the arrowhead, that's the correct symbol. And he says in the letter, and if you see the inverted V with the three lines through it, that's not the right symbol. In his book, he's got it reversed. I believe, and there's other documentation in the Project Blue Book files created at the time. Not only did Zamora draw the symbol twice for the Blue Book files and sign it both times, but there's other letters and reports in the Blue Book files with that symbol in it, in the reports. Nobody really has the inverted three V with the three lines through it until you get to the unofficial file. And that's another whole story. Carmen Morano, and if you go to the last picture, I think, of Quintanilla and the Blue Book staff, the Blue Book offices, you've got Quintanilla sitting at the desk, and they got the secretary, and you've got Sergeant Moody there, and there's an officer standing just off the right-hand shoulder of Quintanilla, that's Carmen Morano. Morano told me, when I talked to him, that when Blue Book was winding down, they were packing up everything and they were throwing away a lot. They were going to throw away a lot of files and things. And these were the personal files of officers who'd been there and other documentation that was not part of the official file. Morano kept it. He thought, you know, he didn't think it should be thrown away. It should be kept. Rob Mercer was periodically searches, and this is hilarious, Craigslist looking for UFO material on it. And he saw that somebody had a box of material from Project Blue Book for sale. So Mercer called the guy. He said, yeah, I still have it. Mercer sent him $100. Guy sent the box to him, and here was a whole bunch of stuff from Project Blue Book. And in it was a 200-page document about the Socorro landing with photographs and all kinds of good stuff. Some of the photographs are in the book, so you can see what they look like. But in there were two cards. One of them looks like a taken from a newspaper, just written down from a newspaper. Another one is a neater version of the same thing, but that's the inverted V with the three lines through it. So in the unofficial file, you've got that documentation, but it looks to be it came from the newspapers. What's interesting, and I want to give Rob Mercer a shout out here, simply because he did a wonderful piece of detective work finding out where that box came from. He bought it from a guy on Craigslist, and the guy didn't know anything about it. He'd bought a bunch of stuff at a garage sale, some wood supplies or something like that, and behind that was this box. So he took it along with the other stuff that he had bought. He sent it to Mercer, who bought it. Mercer discovered who had owned the house, and who, prior to the people who were living it there, which was Carmen Morano, and managed to track him down and found him and talked to him. And Morano said, I got a lot of other stuff. You want it? And he said, sure. In that stuff that Morano sent him was a complete index of the Project Blue Book files. Now, if you've gone through like to the National Archives, or you got the microfilm versions of the index, it's all been redacted. All the names have been removed from that file. I happen to have all the names of people who reported unidentified in some of the photographic cases like that, and I was able to do that back in 1976 when the files were declassified and sent to Maxwell. And a friend of mine, Bob Cornyn, and I went down to Maxwell and went through the index, and we wrote down the names of everybody in the unidentified cases so we could put the names back in. But Mercer's got the complete index without the names redacted, which is a wonderful find. And he's got a lot of other stuff. He hasn't had a chance to go through it all.
We are going to go through it all, or some of it, or a little bit of it, with Kevin Randall. More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We are kind of in the weeds now, folks, focusing on all these details about the Sicaro case. But the one thing I wanted to just go back on for a second, as we talk about this symbol, and it's less so of getting it right, and we'll assume it's now whatever it was intended to be, whatever Blanny Zamora said he saw. Is there any commonality with any other UFO case anywhere where anyone saw a similar symbol?
I couldn't find anything. I know that Ben Mawson and Tony Angiolo had done that research. If you go through the Blue Book files, you'll see that they did the same thing at the time, trying to find a corporate logo or something that would match that. And that symbol has not appeared anywhere in a legitimate case that I can find. And so that's kind of by itself. And neither version, actually, whichever version you want to accept as being authentic, I haven't found either one anywhere else in the UFO literature. There's things that kind of match, sort of, maybe, just about, but there's really nothing that really is dead on for either version of the symbol.
That is itself kind of weird. Are there any sightings of similarly shaped objects anywhere?
Oh, absolutely. In the book, I go into other sightings in New Mexico at the same time, and some of them, there was one in La Madera, New Mexico, which is north, I want to say northwest of Santa Fe, maybe northeast of Santa Fe, but it took place...
Well, just directly north of Ojo Caliente and right on the Chama River.
Ojo Caliente, the hot eyes? I tried to translate to Spanish for him. The sighting there of a landing as well, a similar type craft, which the Air Force wrote off as a fire in a dump, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And the guy that reported it to the sheriff's office had not heard the news about the Socorro landing hadn't made the big news yet, so he obviously wasn't influenced by that. But there are other landing cases that kind of match this object and that sort of thing. In the area, there were a number of hoaxes as well at the same time. And I tried to separate the hoaxes from the legitimate sightings. There was one guy who claimed he had fired 12 or 18 rounds from his pistol at a UFO. And the sheriff went out and investigated and said, well, you know, the guy was really drunk at the time and thought that was probably a hoax. And I kind of agree. It's just, you know, there was no crime committed. He was firing his pistol on his own land, so nobody cared. But there are other sightings in the area of similar type craft, some of them with names attached. There was one, and I go into detail in the book as well, that took place maybe 3 or 4 hours later, just west of Socorro, where they'd seen something in the sky that resembled what Zamora had seen. So it happened within hours of Zamora seeing it, but it was maybe 50, 60 miles away from Socorro. So, you know, you've got it in the area, you've got it in the time frame, but you don't have a direct connection to Socorro sighting. So there were sightings of a similar craft in the area at the time, and there's names attached to some of those sightings. They just aren't as exciting as the Socorro sighting, because you've got the object landed, it's left landing traces, it's burned the partially burned the landing site. You've got the two alien creatures. The other sightings are mainly of the craft in the sky, and so they're not quite as exciting as the Zamora case.
But what about that same kind of object in other places?
You can look through the UFO literature and you can find similar objects being seen. And I think it's always a matter of perspective. If you go to the Levelland case from 1957 and you're looking at that, you know, people talked about it being torpedo shaped or it's sort of a teardrop shaped or things like that. And I always thought it was a matter of perspective that they saw the object, that if you saw a cylindrically shaped object sort of at a 45 degree angle, it would look a little bit different than if you saw it dead on from one end or the other, or you were standing perpendicular to it. You could get the impression of it being different shapes, although it's the same object. It's a matter of perspective. And I think when you look at some of the sightings that we have in the decades afterward, you've got objects that are quite similar to what Zamora saw, but it's always a kind of a matter of perspective if you want to cut some slack for people like that, seeing it from a slightly different perspective.
I actually had a sighting of a giant flying chicken egg. March 27, 2005.
Did you take photographs?
I ran inside to grab my camera, and by the time I got out, it had gone out of sight over my house. I wish I had.
That was a chicken or egg problem.
Well, there were six other witnesses that saw it from directly above them. I saw it from probably 2 miles away. It was about 1,000, 1,200 feet up. I had just gotten brand-new contact lenses. I had 20/15 vision. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and one end was slightly pointed, like a chicken egg. The other end was rounder. No wings of, you know, fusilli. It was just a chicken egg. I estimated it was about 30 feet long, and the people in the canyon said it was longer, 40 to 60 feet. They thought, and they were closer. It flew directly over them. So I'm not sure who was right. But it was unmistakable. It moved with a slight squirting motion. It wasn't going very fast, only 70 miles an hour maybe, I figured. Again, it was just maybe slightly under 2 miles away. Arguably my best daylight sighting, and I've had a few.
And I think a lot of times when you get the discrepancies of multiple witness sightings, that it is all a matter of perspective. In Levelland, you had people at 13 different locations seeing the thing, and they talked about an egg-shaped craft, and they talked about a cylindrically shaped craft. I think it's a matter of perspective. I don't think that is sufficient reason to reject the sighting, saying, well, they didn't see the same thing because it looked different, and are you saying it morphed into an egg-shaped object? No, I'm saying they saw it from a different perspective, and it's at night, and the thing is glowing. So clearly, if you see it from a different perspective, it's going to look different to you. And I think that looks a lot about that. I think it's Ted Phillips who had done the catalog of landing traces. And I know he told me at one point that if you described the landing traces, he could tell you what the object looked like. And I thought that's a wonderful piece of information because it suggests some sort of repeatability that people seeing the object are seeing the same sort of thing over a matter of years, and that the landing gear is something that is consistent from craft to craft. I mean, if you see Lonnie Zamora saw four landing gear. Other people have seen a triangular-shaped landing gear. It gives a different propulsion. But Phillips had said that he could tell you what the craft would look like based on the landing impressions. And I think that's an important piece of investigative information.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now that we're talking about physical evidence here, let's get in and talk about what exactly was left behind by the object at Socorro. There seemed to be a footprint impressions of small feet. There was a bladed metal scraped off onto a rock, which was, I think, discovered by Stanford, and also burnt Chico bushes. Ray also collected pieces of paper from the arroyo that seemed to have microscopic, very well-defined burn marks, circular burn marks in them. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think the important thing is the landing gear impressions. There were four of those. And according to the compression test made by the military, it showed something that was very heavy had set down on the ground there, and the landing gear had created impressions in the ground. It wasn't an excavation. It was something that had been pressed heavily into the ground. So that kind of rules out part of the hoax scenario, because you had to have something very heavy sitting there to do that. And Philip Glass had done something that really kind of made me laugh. In one of his books, he had a Brillo pad with knitting needles stuck in it, and he had laid out on a flat surface the shape of the landing gear, and it was very asymmetrical. And they said, you know, who would build a craft with this asymmetrical landing gear? And I'm thinking, alien creatures?
More possibilities with Gene and Chris and Kevin Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're looking over the Sicaro, New Mexico case, and Kevin Randall describes it all in a book called Encounter in the Desert. We're looking now at the landing traces. Now, the pieces, this piece of metal that Ray Stanford recovered, any of this other stuff, anything look unusual, or was it all conventional?
Let me get to that in my own bizarre way.
That sounds bizarre.
Because I want to go back a minute to Philip Klass's Brillo pad. And what I
Philip Klass and Brillo pads, I understand there's a peculiar relationship.
But I just wanted to say, you know, he laid it out on a flat surface. He did not compensate for the terrain. And when you compensated for the terrain, the landing gear was actually symmetrical, is all I really wanted to say about that.
Yeah.
And so
it was on a slight slope.
You've got to look at those sort of things when you're doing it. So this is important, and the impressions. There was a burned bush underneath the flame that came out of the object,
which knifed into the ground. Zamora said it wasn't like an exhaust from a rocket that would hit the ground and then flatten out and splay along the ground. He said it went right into the ground.
And the important thing is it only burned one half of the bush. One side was smoking. The other half wasn't. And I think Chavez said that they went down, and when he touched the bush, it was cool to the touch. It wasn't like something had been burned. There was no evidence of accelerants. And the Air Force tested for that. Holder took samples that very night. Captain Holder took samples that night. One of the questions I had asked was, what happened to those samples? And nobody seemed to know. And going through the Blue Book files, I found out what happened to them. He gave them to Hynek. Those samples were taken to the Air Force labs, and they found no evidence of accelerants on the ground. So they had nothing. They couldn't say what had caused the burning. There was no chemical residue there that they could identify. And that's an important point as well.
Well, especially if you look at the recent Anthony Bregaglia claim that fireworks were used and this was a hoax with a balloon, that kind of negates that particular scenario.
I was going to try to ignore his hoax scenario because it just really doesn't hold much water, but we can go there in a minute if you so desire. The other thing is Ray Stanford was there within days of the sighting. He got there, I think, on the same day that Hynek did. Hynek got there on Tuesday evening. I think Ray got there on Tuesday evening. He got there later in the day. Hynek went out or talked to the people that night, Tuesday evening. Ray didn't. He had an interview set up with Lonnie the next morning, or the Wednesday morning after the sighting. The sighting took place on a Friday, if you want to keep the day straight. The first time he called, I think they said that Lonnie was asleep, and the second time he called, Lonnie wasn't there. So Ray went to the police station, found out Lonnie was out on the landing site. He went out there. The police were going to chase him off, but Hynek said, no, let him stay. So Ray had brought materials, envelopes or jars to collect samples, And Hynek asked him for a couple of those, but Hynek really didn't need it because he had half so Holden samples. So I don't know why I can't say Holden samples for analysis. But while they were there, Lonnie pointed to some metallic residue on one of the rocks there, and nobody seemed to be interested but Ray. And they all then left to go to a radio interview that was in Hynek's hotel room or somebody's hotel room. And Stanford is there kind of dancing around, wanting to leave because he wants to get back to the site where this rock is holding this metallic debris. When the interview was over, he went back. There was nobody around. He collected the sample, collected it in newspapers, took it back to Phoenix with the idea of taking it to or getting the metallic residue examined. The mistake he made, and he mentions this in his book, is his doctor, a doctor living next door, I don't know what sort of doctor he was, wanted to see it, and they took it outside, and he was looking at it, and the biggest piece of the metallic debris fell off in the grass, and they spent hours looking for it and couldn't find it. But there were still little smudges or little samples on the rock, and they eventually took it to Washington, D.C., and with Dick Hall, arranged for NICAP to take a look at it. Not NICAP, not NASA. Much more impressive having NASA look at it than NICAP for analysis. And then the story goes
they
on.
They took it to the Goddard Space Flight Center materials division.
Yes, exactly. NASA as opposed to NICAP. But NICAP is involved because Stanford was NICAP and Hall was NICAP. Then there's a disagreement, and this all came out in the MUFON bulletin at one point. Ray says that, I think the guy's name was Frankel, had done the analysis and told him later on that he didn't know what it was. It was something really unusual. And then days later, Frankel is gone, and the report was it was just aluminum or something like that, nothing really spectacular. NICAP in its UFO Investigator, which is their publication, and I think it's the September issue, but hold me on that. But there's a couple of paragraphs on one of the pages in there that gives the analysis from Goddard, showing that it was nothing important. Ray maintains that in his discussions with Frankel, he was at first told that it was very unusual. They didn't know what it was. And then Frankel disappears from the story. Frankel is transferred out, and he can't get a hold of Frankel. Ray has no tapes of the conversation, which, given the time frame, is not surprising. But he apparently has his notes from that conversation. So there's a lot of that stuff going on. And so and that's the thing with all UFO cases, the really good cases, you get these divergent agendas, whether it's the Air Force wanting to prove there's nothing to it or NICAP wanting to stay away from the spectacular cases with aliens and all of that stuff because they feel it hurts their credibility to the Lorenzans, who are more accepting of the really bizarre cases. So, you've got to look at all of that sort of thing.
Did Ray tell you that he thinks he may have found another metal sample?
There are, talking to Ben Moss, Tony Angiola, and Ray Stanford, there are other minute metals on the rock that they're going to have try to get analyzed. And in today's environment, they can take much smaller samples for the analysis than they needed back in, I think it was in the 1960s when they were doing the original analysis. So the technology has improved to a point where they can take much, much smaller samples and get some good analysis. And I know that there's a fair afoot to do that. And I look forward to seeing what that has to say. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't come to fruition yet.
Also, the vitrified crystals in the rock samples, too, that it appears that the quartz, the glass, was melted in the samples.
There is some very good physical evidence that is in the possession of private researchers that suggests we might be able to gather something more. The thing that always scares me about recovering samples of possible samples of an alien spacecraft, however you happen to come into them, is that they're going to go to the analysis and say, yeah, this is aluminum, big deal. Doesn't mean it's not from an alien spacecraft, just means that the composition of that particular sample can't be said is not of terrestrial manufacture.
Right.
it is something common to Earth. So you can't say, ah, we now have physical evidence of extraterrestrial visitation because this sample cannot have been manufactured on Earth. And it just kind of, I was going to say, it hurts the whole investigation because, well, yeah, they looked at it and it turned out to be aluminum. Yeah, well, that's all well and good, but that doesn't mean it wasn't extraterrestrial. But to prove the extraterrestrial, you have to have something much more spectacular. And now they begin to talk about isotopic ratios of the structure of the alloys and the structures of the metal. And when you get into that, then you might be able to get into something that is suggestive of the extraterrestrial. Well, it's a regular aluminum, except the isotopic ratios now is a little bit different than you'd expect on terrestrially manufactured metals.
You know, right. I want to get back to this here, because this frames the entire dilemma in the UFO field. We don't have evidence of extraterrestrial alloys or anything to go by. Mm-hmm.
The problem that I see is that we've always had competing agendas. And I think that really kind of messes this up. And I don't care whether, you know, it's the Roswell case where you've got Stan Friedman and Bill Moore and Don Schmidt and Tom Carey and me, and we all kind of have our agendas that interfere with the investigation. And then you throw in the Air Force, which has its own agenda, and then you bring in people who want to be involved in this great event with their own agendas, and it clutters up the landscape. And you know, I try to advocate that we need to get to the best evidence possible to do that. But when you get to the really good cases, you always find this dichotomy and somebody is throwing mud at it. And it doesn't matter whether the mud is legitimate or not. And now we move back to Philip Klass and Tony Bedalia on the Socorro case.
Let's do that in our next segment, more about these two. Almost having similar agendas, it seems, but we'll see. Kevin Randall, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.